after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you guys could be with us here today on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Oh, a couple of items from yesterday that we'll discuss. Going to talk about the Jay Norvell press conference. I put up a quick YouTube thoughts thing. I don't know what you want to call it. This morning. If you're not a subscriber to the YouTube channel, you really should be. Just search for the whole show and subscribe. It's pretty easy. And we'll be doing videos, recaps, you know, quick thoughts, things like that. If you don't have time for us every single day on the YouTube channel, that's fine. But we want you to subscribe. Be a part of it. So just search for the whole show. And just continue to help us grow this network, man. The more we can grow this network, the more Rams talk, Bears talk, Buffs talk, Nuggets, Broncos, the more we can provide, the more we can do. So we're continuing to build it. It's a lot of fun. We made a lot of great listeners over the years on this program just with our coverage that nobody else does. I mean, we are hitting the big topics that matter. Colorado State, Jay Norvell. We're going to have David Roddy on, the David Roddy Show presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza coming up at 1 o'clock. You don't think the Rams are big news right now? They are big news. But I went back last night. I was just, I'm talking about press conferences and how, you know, you can't lose your opening press conference. You typically can't unless you say something really bad. So I went back and I watched Steve Adazio's opening press conference. It's kind of weird. It's only been 2 years. Like, they were doing all this thing, rolling it out. It is funny, though, because, like, President McConnell and Joe Parker, you could almost just cut and paste it to what they said. And again, that's true with every college, so I'm not calling them out for that. But I'm watching, they did a film when Adazio's there, and they're driving to Canvas Stadium, and he's getting ready to do his announcement. And it was just, there's somewhat hope, but I don't know that when he was announced and when he had the press conference, if it was that exciting. I think people were like, okay, he's cool, and then he spoke, and people were kind of into it a little more. That's typically how it goes. People were excited about Jay Norvell well before the press conference, and certainly well after. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is available at thewholeshow.com. Is Joe Parker off the hot seat now because of this hire? Or do you need to see how Jay Norvell does? I mean, and when I say that, it's like you can say, but this is the hire. You agree with this hire. So in retrospect, if it fails, you can't. Should you really hold him to the fire? Yeah, you still could because that's his job, right, to find this coach. I don't think it's going to utterly fail. I do think that this guy is going to be competitive in the conference. 57% of the Hooligans say no, that he's not completely off the hot seat. 42% saying, yeah, they're good. All right, we forgive you. Everything is as it should be. Well, I think that press conference is fresh in everybody's mind. Everybody's mind. Talking about, you know, when Jay Norvell started to speak, you could just tell there was something about him. Very genuine guy. And I'm not trying to say Steve Adazio, when he first spoke to the media, sounded like a car salesman. He had his moments too. Press conferences are always good. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to name the introductory press conference that was bad. It's not like a guy gets up there and is mean and mad at the media right off the bat. They haven't done anything yet. So I thought it was great, though. You can't lose Media Day, but you can absolutely win Media Day. And I loved a lot of what he had to say about his values. I really, and if you don't know the story, I read the story of Kim Norvell, his wife. She's quite the lady. You know, when you look at everything she's dealing, she's living with cystic fibrosis. And she continues to be a very inspiring person. And I'm sure we're going to get to know. I want to have her on. I've never, like, said, oh, we need to get the coach's wife on. I've never said that before. But she was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at 6 months old. And doctors said she'd most likely die before first grade. She's a cancer survivor after having 13 inches of her colon removed. I mean, she is, and she, looking at the picture at the Reno Gazette, big smile on her face. So when Coach Norvell, if you read this story, I suggest you do, find it at the Reno Gazette Journal. She is quite the lady. And so when he's talking about her, he starts choking up. Like he starts to, you could see, he's like, okay, and I want to thank my wife, Kim. And then he kind of starts to choke up. He says, I'm sorry. But when I talk about the important things, I tend to get a little emotional. So he won me over with that. Because, I mean, I'm a family guy. I love, my wife is my best friend, my kid. I'm that kind of guy. So when I hear that stuff, I'm a sucker for it. So great. Good job. But what about the football side? At the end of the day, he can be the greatest guy in the world. And you can have all these awesome stories that are fantastic. But we know football is about a lot more than being a good guy. You've got to be able to ultimately win games, put together a winning program. And so when I like that he laid out his philosophy, because I always want to know that, like, what your philosophy is. And just, you don't need to get into the deep X's and O's with me. But I kind of want to know what the philosophy is. And Jay Norvell, here's what he said. Number one was the quarterback. Talking about the quarterback. Do we have the clip? Here's what Jay Norvell has to say about the quarterback position.
I really believe this, that, you know, and I've been in football a long time. There's a lot of people in football that don't know what a quarterback is or what it looks like or what you should look for in a quarterback. There's a lot of people making bad decisions about quarterbacks, and so I appreciate that. But what we look for in a quarterback is, number one, intelligence. Number two is accuracy. You know, and I just think it's the worst feeling in the world when you're a fan and you go to a stadium and you know your quarterback can't throw. What's the worst feeling in the world? It's terrible. Okay, so we'll work hard not to have that happen here, okay? But the third thing is passion for that quarterback. And so that's important. So the vertical passing game's number one. Number two is we love big players. We want to get big.
All right, let's pause that. Let's talk about it. Okay, the quarterback position. Jay Norvell talking about what he wants from that quarterback position, ultimately, what that's going to look like. And the big thing he said was accuracy. And I think when you're looking at Todd Senteo, you're not thinking accuracy. You're thinking, this guy's going to run first. He's going to go through his first read. And then he's going to take off and he's going to run. I mean, that's what this guy is. And I like Todd Senteo. But I don't see a realistic world, at least hearing what Jay Norvell was saying. He's basing it off of his quarterback, folks. Toddy Senteo is going to be a guy that, you know, needs the run game to go. Needs a good tight end like Trey McBride to go. So I would expect that to be the end for Todd Senteo. Senteo was 15 of 24, 185 yards, a QBR of 17 against Nevada. So Jay Norvell got to see that front and center. So I would imagine that is going to be the end for Todd Senteo. So big into the quarterback situation, which I think should be exciting for fans. Here's the second point. I don't know if we can just rewind a little. We don't have to. He says he wants to get big with the wide receivers. Let's hear that part.
Number two is we love big players. We want to get big. We love big linemen. We love big receivers. We like our receivers to look like a basketball team. You know, guys that are walking around with great height and range. And if we spread them out, match them up, it's going to be very difficult for defense to match up with us. So we'll work real hard on that. We're doing that as we speak. The third is championship defense.
Championship defense, we'll get to that. Big wide receivers. Are we going to see wide receiver U reemerge for Colorado State? That's the interesting one. Because Adazio certainly got away from that. I thought that was, like, why would you want to do away with wide receiver U? If you're known for something nationally, I mean, they were becoming very popular with that. Every year they were churning out a really good wide receiver. Especially Michael Gallup and Rashard Higgins. Hell, man, I remember going to Canvas Stadium when we were there for like the tour or whatever for the first go back and look at the archives of that, by the way. I'm on the front page of the Colorado one. Yeah, I'm pretty famous. I looked lost. All the other reporters were surrounding Mike Bobo, and I was standing back scratching my head. So thanks for that picture. Kevin, you could have hooked me up, man. Better get something better than that. It was actually hot, so I backed away, and I was sweating, and I was wiping my brow, and it looked like I was scratching my head and looked confused. Thank you, guys. Anyway, we were there, and in part of the promotion, they had popcorn for us. Packaged popcorn that we could microwave, right? The package was, the logo was, the image was Rashard Higgins. It was like, get your popcorn ready. So they were marketing wide receiver U, and it was a big deal. And then, of course, Steve Adazio enters, and it's like, we're going to run the ball, which I don't disagree with his style of, I don't disagree with Adazio's style of football. But I think what, I know what puts butts in the seats, and that's airing it out. A quarterback that can go deep and has accuracy and can get good wide receivers. So big wide receivers, what does that mean for Dante Wright? Dante Wright is 5'9". But I mean, he's too good of a player to just say, hey, we're not going to utilize you. I think he would fit in more with this style from what I'm hearing than what Adazio's was. Let's get to the third point. Talking about defense, let's get to that right now.
The third is championship defense. And it's very difficult to win in any team sport if you can't stop them from scoring. Okay, so we want a defense that's going to rush the passer. The passer must get hit. The quarterback's got to get hit. And we want to play bump and run defense. We want to take the air out of the coverage. I believe that there's not many good quarterbacks in college football. And so why would you give them any room to throw? Play tight coverage, take the air out of the defense, and make them earn every catch. So we plan on having a good quarterback that can throw and complete passes, so we want to make it real difficult on the ones that don't. And so that's number three.
All right, defense, championship mentality. I am very excited about this because it's easy to say we want to be good at defense. But I like the bump and run point. You know what that means to me? And this is big time for me. Is I'm going to go out and I'm going to really, really dissect and look for stud cornerbacks. He said, there's not many good quarterbacks in college football. I like that he said that because that's true. How many are up for the draft every year compared to D linemen? And, you know, running backs don't go first round very often, but there's a lot of running backs that get drafted. There's not many quarterbacks, right? So I like that. That means he's probably going to be looking deep for stud corners. You know me. I'm Mr. Four-Pillar guy. If I was ever a coach, which I'm not, it would be about, if I was a defensive guy, I want two lockdown corners and two pass rushers. That's my emphasis, and I will bust my hump to get those four guys on my team until I die. The rest, fill in the gaps. Give me some good players, but I need studs. I need dogs as a cornerback and a pass rusher. And I hope that's what he's going for on the defensive side. The fourth thing he says is talking about special teams. Says he wants our special teams unit to be a fanatical group of guys. He does have a special teams coach. Thomas Sheffield is coming over from Nevada. In fact, most of Nevada's coaching staff, and we'll get to that, is coming over to be with Jay Norvell. Poor Nevada, man. They've just been absolutely gutted. But here's what he had to say about special teams.
Number four is a fanatical group of special teams players. And on our team, everybody will play special teams. On our team, all starters will play special teams. We'll have great kickers, punters, and specialists that are ready to perform when the game's on the line. I just believe that's really an important formula of winning football.
Yeah. All right. I mean, now that Stonehouse is gone, I don't get as excited about special teams as I used to. Let's read a text from the 970. Shoot us a nickname on there. From the 970, if you guys want to text, First Advantage text line is 888 530 0043. Addazio's hire was confusing from the start, and you could tell at his press conference that he knew nothing about CSU, the CSU program, other than they were going to pay him some cash. With Norvell, we know that he already knows the team and the job he's facing. Yeah, this is a way better hire. No question. Right off the bat. I like hiring guys. I mean, again, it never happened, but the idea of hiring a guy within the conference. I don't know if it's going to be the new norm, but I think it's great for CSU. Bad for Nevada. But I like hiring guys within the region or have some kind of ties to CSU. Whether they played there, Tony Alford, or they were coaching there at some point, or they were coaching against them at some point. Just give me some kind of a connection, because Texter, you're right. Do you want a guy from Boston that's coming over here that's like, oh, it's sunny here. I like that. That's neato. Didn't he actually say Colorado Rams? I think he said that. Okay, whatever. I know he was roasted for that. But I'm with you. You got to get a guy that has some kind of connector to CSU. Maybe it's a distant connection, but some kind. And finally, kind of more of the coach speak thing at the end. Didn't give you a lot of detail, but here's the fifth point.
And then lastly, but most importantly, a group of special men that have grit. And that's the most important thing. And football's tough. Football's hard. I told the players, you know, when you lose, it's hard. And if you lose twice, it's even harder. And, you know, I'm an old soul. I told President McConnell, you know, I'm on the cutting edge of innovation. We use computers and virtual reality, all this stuff to help us learn how to throw the ball better. But I'm old school traditionalist. And, you know, Bear Bryant said, you never know how a horse will plow till you hook him to a heavy load. And I told the players today, we're going to hook you to the heavy load. And we're going to find out what you can pull. Because when you lose and you get in the fourth quarter in a tough game, it's that grit, it's that resilience, it's that fortitude that you got to get back up and fight. And so that's what we're going to develop. That's what we want to be known for. We want to be known for a team with grit. We want to be known for a team that when it gets knocked down, it gets back up, and it gets back up again, and gets back up one more time, and never, ever, ever gives up. That's what we want to be known for.
Yeah, that's a good thing at the end. That one's kind of more or less, you know, non-specific. I want to have a bunch of tough guys and, you know, a good attitude, never quit. All right, cool. Great job. Great job. Boy, I'm excited to interview him. I think we put out a request. We're really going to try to get him on soon. 23 minutes after the hour, get in your text, the Weld County Swami. It's great for the Mountain West. It makes Nevada reevaluate how they approach football. They have to up the money they dedicate to it to keep quality people. They're going to have to figure something out. Because losing a coach inside of the conference is a bad look for Nevada, a great look for CSU. Especially when Nevada just worked CSU. There's a lot of people that go, why would he go from Nevada to CSU? They're terrible compared to Nevada. Well, because he can do what he did with Nevada plus the resources. That's why. And he's got the money. I got his contract, and we're going to go over the contract details coming up. Also, the UNC Bears get the big dub last night over South Dakota. Had a chance to talk to Dalen Kuntz. This morning, he's coming by. He's doing some stuff with the station. Great guy. He's a hell of a player. We'll talk about that more on the contract. Also, Mark Johnson going to talk to us about the Colorado Buffaloes basketball side of things. They had a couple of big-time tests last weekend, and we'll talk about what the losses to those tests mean with Mark later on. 24 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Good Afternoon Guy with Brian Gary is coming up at 3 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, Nugget fans, this is Coach Bowen of the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Dalvin Kuhn sailing straight up top the key. Off the pick to the right side. Fakes a pass. Still got it. Got in the paint. What a move. And he lays it up in and right-handed. 5:45 to go. Johnson headed the key to Kuhn's. Dalen driving right. Got in the paint easily. His layup up there. Good. And a loft it high off the glass, but got it to go. Terrific move again. Under a minute to go in the first half. 50 seconds left. Kuhn's with the ball. Found the opening. Down the lane, and he stuffs it home. Dalen taking his time. Isolation for him. Down the lane he goes again. Scoops it up there and in. Kuhn's shot clock to 5. Dalen knows that. Got a deal. Going to take the 3. Yes, he got it. Fighting that shot clock. He knocked it down. Top the key to Kuhn. Steps into a 3. Yes! Just what the Bears needed was a 3. Puts him back up by 4. 59-55.
The Bears win last night 74-69 over South Dakota. Dalen Kuhn's with 24 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. He was 7 of 13 and 7 of 8 from the free throw line. This guy is just getting better. He's a lot taller in person, too. He stopped by today. Call there courtesy of Jerry Schimmel last night on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1. 1310 KFKA. The Bears were featured on SVP Bad Beats on ESPN the other night. By the way, their Montana State game in overtime because it was UNC minus 2.5. And then that was a late game, of course. They were highlighting that, though. I just caught that moments ago, too. So that was, hey, whenever you can get the national exposure, take it. Bears win 3 in a row. Montana State, Montana, and South Dakota. They play Arizona next week. Arizona is number 11. That's going to be a tough basketball game. 31 minutes after the hour, we're going to catch up with Mark Johnson. More basketball talk coming up next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
36 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome back to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. It was an interesting weekend for the Colorado Buffaloes. They're 6-3. They lose over the weekend, but against two absolute powerhouses that are going to do big things this year. Joining us now to talk about those Buffaloes, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs. Mark, my friend, what did you learn about CU over the weekend, man?
Well, I learned they got to grow up a little bit, become more consistent. I like the comment that Tad Boyle had here a couple of days ago. He said, we're not a good team, but we're a dangerous team. And what he's talking about is a young squad that, as you mentioned, played a top 5 and a top 13 team at UCLA and Tennessee and wants to be playing at that level, but went out there and played inconsistent basketball. I mean, there were moments, there were stretches where they played very well, and there were stretches they played like they looked like a bunch of freshmen and sophomores out there. And they got to figure that out very quickly because, you know, you've got a very solid team tonight coming in. I mean, Eastern Washington just beat Washington State, who's having a great non-conference slate, by the way. Beat them on November 27th. Then you got the CSU Bakersfield and Milwaukee coming up. Bakersfield's been outstanding. He knocked off a Pac-12 team or two. And then he's jumping to league play again. So, a very talented squad. There's no doubt about it, Brett. You and I have been talking about that leading up to the season now for a couple of months. But, boy, they've got to figure out how to be consistent and play like they're as talented as they are. And I think that's the big issue that Tad Boyle is trying to decipher right now.
It is interesting, though. You look at these two teams in Tennessee and UCLA, and you look and you say, those two teams are going to be doing some big things. But like you said, the Buffs had some moments there where you thought, are they going to come back, make these both of these games kind of interesting? But like you said, too many inconsistencies ultimately led both programs to walk away with the win, kind of run away at the end.
Yeah, you know, the game in Westwood here last week, for example, I mean, Colorado had a real bad 6 minutes late in the first half. They were down by, 11 or 12, I think, at the half. Pulled within 4 in the second half. But, you know, I've been saying this ever since I started doing the Buffs 18 years ago. It's easy to come back. It's hard to come back and win, especially against very good teams. And you're not going to do that very often. And we learned that very early in the season. The Buffs were playing around with fire all the time and taking a little bit of hold, not playing well, let teams hang around. They didn't come back and win at the very end. Well, you can do that against probably the vast majority of teams in college basketball. You're not going to do that against the top 20 teams in the country. It's just not going to happen. And so, you know, they got to figure that out. And then, you know, they had their defensive issues. Kennedy Chandler, the McDonald's All-American point guard for Tennessee last Sunday, I mean, he had his way with the Buffaloes. I mean, Colorado, it was the most basic thing in the world. They were running a pick-and-roll up top, and the Buffs tried a number of different ways to handle it and couldn't do it. Now, You know, you got a guy like Eli Parkey, who was an all Pac-12 defensive player, guy that was competing for the defensive player of the year in the Pac-12 a year ago, and he's not living up to his billing. He's not playing defense the way that he's supposed to. And the rest of this team is doing much of the same. And so, you know, these guys have got to start playing better basketball, be more consistent, play with more intensity, play with a purpose in the defensive end, you know, because they can score the ball. That's no issue whatsoever. And a lot of young, times young players, they like to score the ball. They like to play defense. And this team's learning some hard lessons right now.
We're talking to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. The Buffs sitting at 6-3, several tests in the road before we get into the full-on Pac-12 play. One of those, like you said, Eastern Washington, the Big Sky Conference. Some people tend to overlook that conference, but people like you, Mark, people in the know that watch college basketball, there's a lot of good teams in that conference.
Well, there's no doubt. And you know, I know – I've read a couple of articles where people are like, whoa, this team, you know, they won 18 games and won the Big Sky Tournament Championship a year ago. That is true. And then they lost all five starters plus two letter winners and have totally restocked this thing. And so they've got 10 or 11 new players, some of them transfers. They're playing some pretty good basketball right now. Now they're 4-4. They played a real road-heavy schedule, but they've got a couple of guys who are putting up some pretty impressive numbers. And they can beat anybody, as they proved by beating Washington State. Washington State's having, like I said, a real nice non-conference slate so far. They've got one or two losses, so they're playing some very good basketball. So, and listen, at this point, with the inconsistencies that Colorado is playing with, and I think I told you this off the top, they can't overlook anybody. You know, I've said they're going to beat a team or two. They probably should. They're losing a game. They probably should at some point in time. But, you know, you look back to that Southern Illinois game down at the Virgin Islands. That's one they should not have lost. Now, when you lose to a number 5 and a number 13 in the country, those aren't bad losses. But they're losses that if you go down swinging and you're playing good basketball, you can accept a game that doesn't go your way. When you play inconsistent and you kill yourself, those are the losses you can't accept. And I know that's what Tad's struggling with right now.
So, Mark, where are the Buffs right now as far as where you kind of thought they would be at this stage, sitting at 6-3?
Well, I figured probably 7-2 right now. That's really where I thought they'd be at this point in time. So it's not like they're having a crazy bad year, and no one's, you know, pushing the panic button at this point in time. It's just this team's got to start growing up. And so I knew there was going to be inconsistencies early in the campaign. They're dealing with that right now. They're going to find answers. Listen, the one thing we've learned about Tad over the course of 12 seasons or 11 seasons prior to this one is his teams get better as the year goes on. And so you certainly expect that. He's a quality coach. They're going to grow up. They're going to learn some lessons, and they'll be playing better basketball once they jump, you know, wholly into a Pac-12 conference play here right around the first of the year. And so I don't think, listen, like I said, it's not like everyone's going, holy cow, this is a disaster. No, they're 6-3. Take care of your non-conference slate here. You got potentially a 9-3 record going to that game with a top 10 team in Kansas coming up. So there's another great opportunity to learn here coming up on the 21st of December. And so they've got some opportunities here. So, I mean, you know, if you win that one, fantastic. You'd be 10-3. If you lose it, you're 9-4. You've got three losses against top 15 teams. You know, you can go to the Pac-12 conference play. But what you want to see here is just a continued improvement. Work on the consistency. Be a better defensive team. They've been a decent rebounding team, but not been a great rebounding team. And, you know, defense and rebounding are those two things that Tad talks about all the time, the cornerstones of his program. And so, you know, there's a lot of room to grow. Got a lot of room to learn. They've got to figure things out.
Yeah, you said it, I think, last week, is they don't know what they don't know. And you know, those losses, you hate to see them, but maybe that will help this team learn and put them in better positions, you know, when they do go up against some of those, well, the Pac-12 teams, of course, and trying to build upon that resume for the big dance. What time do you guys get rolling tonight, Mark?
Well, you know, to your point, you know, there's that old cowboy saying that, you know, there are three ways to learn. Some people got to see it, some people got to hear it, and some people got to pee in the electric fence just to learn the lesson. And this team here, I think, is one of those that's got to pee in the electric fence just to learn the lesson. So tonight we go on the air at 5:30 to Colorado Basketball Network. We'll tip it off at 6 o'clock tonight.
Looking forward to that one. Hey, I wanted to get your thoughts on this one, Mark. Brett McMurphy put this out a few hours ago. NCAA President Mark Emmert said, quote, "Being a university president is the hardest job in America," end quote. Do you agree or disagree with that take?
It's got its difficulties, but let's be real honest. It's not the hardest job in America. You got to have a little sense of context when you make comments like that. And I don't think if I always used to say to my kids all the time, say it out loud, right? Say something out loud, and then take a listen to it. I think if Mark Emmert had a chance to say that out loud and listen to it before he actually said it, he probably want to, you know, saying it's a very difficult job. It's a challenging job. I think we can all fully understand that. I think there are many people, first responders out there, men and women of the military, you know, those kind of things are much harder jobs than being an athletic, or rather a president of an institution. So, yeah, maybe not the correct way of saying that. He might choose his words a little bit differently if he had a second chance.
You know, I don't know why I went to this, but it reminds me of when Jeff Breidich, former GM for the Rockies, was saying that being a general manager in baseball was like you basically like being a brain surgeon, the same exact thing. And I get it. You and I can say that over a couple of beers or something at Bruce's, but you just don't say it with a big microphone and you know, right up to your mouth.
Well, no, have some context. I mean, this is a great example of somebody getting caught up within themselves, right? You know, I got in trouble a few years ago. I won't name the coach. We were doing a coach's show, and I made some comment about, you know, the game, figuring things out. You know, when I played, and the coach looked at me and said, "You didn't play Division I basketball. You have no concept of what it's like at this level, coaching or playing." And I said, "Well, I've been covering it for a long time," and I said, "Keep in mind, we're not talking about brain surgery here. For goodness, we're not curing cancer. We're playing a game." And the coach got very upset with me, and we got into a heck of a back and forth. But a lot of times, people get caught up within themselves, right? And they think what they're doing is much more important than it actually is. You know, from an overall general standpoint across the globe, and sometimes we kind of lose ourselves a little bit. I think that was the case here.
I think that's an interesting thought, too, because this kind of goes back to what we've been talking about. Obviously, CSU made big news with their new hire. Steve Adazio, a lot of times in his press conferences, as things would get frustrating, would say things like, "Hey, if you know football, then you know what we're doing here." Yeah, I always think that's funny. It's like, you don't have to be an actor or a director to have an opinion on a movie, but why is sports different? We don't have to have played at that level to have a real opinion and an idea of what's going on.
I've always said, Brady, that nobody, shall we say, bloats what they do more than football coaches. All right? They make it sound like they literally are curing cancer all the time.
Yeah.
Is it a difficult job? Sure, it's a difficult job. Is it, you know, this unbelievable task that you know, there's a handful of people in the world can possibly comprehend it? Absolutely not. Anytime you start hearing a coach make those kinds of, you know, bloated comments, I think all of us kind of roll our eyes a little bit. You know, it wasn't that many years ago when somebody says, you know, "This ain't intramurals, brother," right? Okay, we all remember that comment. And you know, when you start getting guys making those kind of comments, that's when you know, generally speaking, the end is near. And we found that out in the case that I'm talking about and the ones you're talking about. When you start making those crazy comparisons and claiming that nobody can possibly understand the difficulty of what you're doing, you're coaching a game, partner. Let's keep it in total context here. And when they start making those kind of comments, I know that you know, that what's the old line they always use? You jump the shark, like the old Happy Days series.
Yeah.
You know, they jumped the shark at that point in time.
No, I tend to agree. It always was something that kind of drove me crazy. I'm glad we brought that up and kind of went into it. But, Mark, always appreciate you, my man. I can talk to you about anything, and love rolling with you on this show each and every week. So you take care of yourself. We'll be looking out tonight. Big one tonight for the Buffs.
I look forward to it. Hey, congratulations to CSU fans up there. I know it's always an exciting time when you hire a new football coach. Coach Norvell's got a great resume, so it'll be interesting to see how that works.
Yeah, very interesting, right? Crossover in the Mountain West Conference. Never happened in this conference, and it doesn't happen a lot in some of these you know, Group of Five conferences. So tough blow for Nevada, but, yeah, exciting for CSU for sure.
You bet. I know they're excited up there. And like I said, I hope he has great success, with the exception of when they play the Buffalo.
I hear you, my friend. Mark, we'll catch up with you soon, okay?
All right. See you, buddy.
All right. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. You see how I was diplomatic at the end when he said he hopes that the Rams don't have success against the Buffs? Yeah, I was diplomatic. 48 after the hour, we got the David Roddy Show coming up, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza, one of the best basketball players maybe in the country. He's certainly the best in the state. We're going to talk to David in the second hour. Get those questions lined up for David. Kind of the random questions. I'm getting the nightmare. I got the Nightmare Before Christmas one for David. That's what we got from one of the texters already. Is it a Christmas movie or is it a Halloween movie? So apparently it's movie themed, because Steve commented as well, and he said he wants to know Hoosiers or Rudy. So it's a movie-themed day, I guess, for David Roddy. So we'll do that in the second hour. Love talking to David, and we'll get to that in the 1 o'clock hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Short break coming up. We'll be right back.
If you want nuggets, insights, Then you want the Hull Show on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Cody Ward from the Locked On Broncos podcast, part of the Locked On NFL Network. Make sure that you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA for the latest news in Broncos country.
Breaking news on this kind of breaking news on this Wednesday afternoon. Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos, just reshared a report from Jordan Schultz that Russell Wilson would be willing to waive his no trade clause for three teams: the Saints, the Giants, and the Denver Broncos.
Is the Giants comment a joke?
Nope, Giants are there. I don't know. New York, I guess? I don't know.
Was that like an autocorrect error?
I don't know. Why would the Giants be in there? I have no idea.
It sounds like an April Fool's thing.
It's not April Fool's. It's December 8th. It's almost Christmas time, if that's what you're getting at. This would be a Christmas miracle. Russell Wilson is a Denver Bronco?
That would be awesome.
It would be the greatest thing that's ever happened to us, Michael.
John Elway.
And I'm married, and I have a wonderful three-year-old son. this is huge. This could be, put Russell Wilson on this team right now. Guess where we're going?
Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's how much I believe in everything else outside of Teddy Bridgewater, Vic Fangio, and Pat Shurmur. But who's going to be the coach? Pete Carroll want to just come over to Denver? I'd take that. Let's just swap them all out. Let's just do that. That'd be great. I'm a little shocked right now. That's some pretty big news. Would the Seahawks do it? Yeah. They're going to turn the page. They're going to regroup and try to rebuild. I always think it is interesting, though, that finding a quarterback is the number one goal. Would you say that for an NFL team?
I would say so.
So it is interesting when you get to a team that's like, hey, we're not very good anymore, but we still have the quarterback, so can we build around him? But no, it's more or less, we're going to restart because we've only got so many years left with Russell Wilson. We're just going to recharge this thing. And also you mix in the fact that Russell Wilson might want to be gone anyway. I have more quarterback news. Chris Murray, who we interviewed, was that yesterday already? Of Nevada Sportsnet, three-star quarterback prospect Braden Fowler Nicolisi decommits from Nevada and picks up a Colorado State offer.
I wonder what kind of arm he has. Is it a strong arm?
He is one of two decommits since Jay Norvell left for CSU. Two other current commits have received CSU offers this week. It begins. So the work that he put in with Nevada, he's got the head start. He's putting that work in for CSU. So a lot of that scouting work that he's been, again, another great reason why you get this hire. Because all the recruiting work, it's a hell of a lot easier for Nevada commits to transfer or to decommit or whatever to CSU. Or even, the transfer side too. Going to be interesting. Eastside Chris, can Russ give 2 weeks' notice? Yeah, can we get that done after the Detroit game? I think we can beat Detroit without Russell. Can we just make that happen now? I know it's over with, but somehow. Second hour coming up. It's the David Roddy Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. We're talking all things Colorado State hoops. Don't miss it. We'll be right back.